put will of God as the top priority. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Let us turn to a book of the 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Three people are considered as the most historically important figures in the U.S. in its long history of 230 years. One of them is Rockefeller. He was reading Genesis, chapter 11, verse 3 and discovered a word tar. He had a research on this word tar and found out that this word originated from the land which is Iraq now. 100 years ago from now, he worked on the oil production sites in the land of Iraq and became a world-famous rich person. The other figure is Carnegie. Carnegie is actually from Scotland. When he was young, he was not very well off, and he only had $20 with him when he got on board on a ship that was bound to go to the U.S. In that way, he arrived in the U.S. at first. And later, he became a world-famous billionaire. The other figure is Bill Gates, that came up in modern days. He already donated money which is about $3 billion, which is equivalent of 30 billion Korean won's worth in value. He announced when he was alive that he will donate all his money that he owns. He announced that he would give 95% for God and the society. People say that these people are really historically important figures who lived in the same century. I have read an article which explained about the common things in these three people. The article listed four things they had in common. First of all, they centered their lives focused on God. Secondly, they did not put their goals of success on material things, but they put it on God. Thirdly, they did not use their material power for themselves but used for God, and for the society, for the benefit of the people at large. Fourthly, they were the people that touched the heart of God. These people that lived their lives centered on God became historically important figures. I hope that you will focus your lives on God and put God as your absolute priority. In our lives, there are priorities. There are priorities in time management. There are priorities in work that we do. There are priorities in studies we do. There would be priorities that we consider as more important when setting criteria for a potential spouse for marriage. There are priorities in management of business. There are priorities in politics. When we do not have the priorities right, then the order gets distorted, and the relationships will also get distorted. At times, when we are given choices to choose from, and we need to have wisdom to set the priorities correctly. Depending on where you put your priorities on, the perspectives of life gets changed completely differently. It is the same story with our Christian lives as well. We need to have set our priorities correctly. In the Bible, Daniel had his correctly set up and Elijah, as well, had his correctly set up. The priority in faith is thinking about what the will of God would be first of all. The locked door is not able to be unlocked with any key. In the same way, there is a key for a Christian life. A lot of Christians live their lives with their own thoughts and ways. But they complain and get depressed, claiming that the doors of their lives do not get opened easily. It is a foolish thing. The Bible gave us 32,500 kinds of promises. And it also gave us a key to unlock these promises. It is the will of God. The will of God is a key to open all the promises that come up in the Bible. The will of the parents need to align with the children, so that the parents will do as per their children's requests. As the request of the employee needs to align with the intention of the upper manager so that it will get approval, in the same way, when Christians pray, what we pray about needs to align with the will of God, so that the answers will come and it will be a blessing. The prayer of Jesus was also about Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus prayed like this. We should not focus so much on achieving something quickly and consider it as a success, but our plan needs to align with the will of God. Our main passage that we are looking at this morning is a well-known passage in the Bible. In this passage, the wills of God are all implied in it. I like this Bible passage the most in the Bible. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The will of God has been condensed in these three things, which is like a key to unlock our faith. But we know about these too well, so we tend to treat these not so importantly. A healthy person has a lot of oxygen around, so does not realize how critical oxygen is. But to a person that has an oxygen inhaler attached to the body, that is just about to die, whether this person has oxygen or not makes a huge difference to this person. Its availability would decide whether this person would live or not. The will of God is a key in faith. Do not try to look for the key from far away. It is near from you. Paul talked about this in three ways. He said it is a will of God to live in joy. Verse 16 says, "Be joyful always." God wants His children to live joyfully. He does not want His children to live in depression and anxiety. But as we live our lives, sometimes we get to have more depression and anxiety rather than joy. We cannot deny that this is the world we live in and this is life. As the waves do not stop in the sea, in the same way, there are a lot of big and small waves in our lives. They come up continuously. How can we live joyfully always in a world such as this? For a long time, I could not really understand about this word. Given that you are not a mentally ill person, how could you possibly live joyfully always in this world, where it has a lot of problems, pains and contradictions? It is because you get given things to worry about, so you cannot do anything about being worried and anxious. That was how I thought about this, and I just could not understand about this. But one day, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand this quite powerfully. In any circumstances, anxiety, or worry, or depression are not the ones that God gives, nor the will of God. That was what I realized. I learned that Satan works in the hearts that are worried, depressed and anxious. Because the principles of creation are like this. In early days, in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve lived, there was joy at all times. A word, Eden, itself, is a land of joy. Why joy was there? It is because they lived their lives with God. But since Adam got away from God, joy also disappeared. Instead, anxiety, worry, pain, depression came along. If we really think about it, we realize that wherever God is, there are joy, peace and happiness. So Paul said, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Then how could we live our lives in order to live joyfully? There are three ways to live joyfully. Firstly, we need to live in God. When a young child is in the arm of a mother, this child can sleep peacefully even the war breaks out or the world rumbles. Also, we need to leave everything, including our lives, in the hand of God. If we were to worry about the affairs of the world, there is no end. The Bible tells us to leave everything unto God. Put your burdens on Him, put everything, including your future pathways, unto Him, all your affairs and worries as well, and leave everything unto the hands of God. God is Almighty. To the extent that we leave things onto the hands of God, God will take care of all. The career directions of your children, your family, and your business as well, leave everything unto the hands of God. We need to be filled fully with the Holy Spirit. Have a look at the people in the early church. Because of one thing that they believed in Jesus, they got their houses taken away and lost their work. They went through all sorts of painful and difficult times, but they were joyful. When they were preaching about the cross and the salvation of the Lord, at last, even though they were walking a way of a martyr, it has been said that their faces shone just like the ones of the angels. This joy was a joy that the Holy Spirit gave them. I hope you will live joyfully in the Holy Spirit. It has been said that living joyfully is a will of God. Secondly, Paul said praying continually is a will of God. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Praying is just like breathing in a spiritual sense. We are able to still live without having any meal for a week. But for breathing, if we do not breathe even for 5 minutes, we get to die. The most difficult thing for a person that is just about to die is having difficulty in breathing. So the patient gets the oxygen inhaler attached. If that does not also work, the life leaves. It is the same for our spiritual lives as well. If faith gets ill, the most difficult thing is not able to pray. But a healthy person can breathe well. A spiritually healthy person can pray well. With praying, it is not a matter of choosing whether to pray or not. If we do not pray, the spirit dies. In our Christian walk, the thing that we should not neglect is prayer. The communication with God and the pathway in getting answers to our prayers are made possible through prayers only. As a Christian, at the start of the day and also at the end of the day, we need to be used to be praying, as a natural pattern in life. Praying is focusing our center of lives on God. Pray while you work, pray while you drive, with your eyes open. Pray while you study, God will give you wisdom. Time spent to pray is not a time wasted at all. I will briefly share a testimony with you. This is a testimony of Dr. Wan, who is the top in the field of cancer research worldwide. His testimony is quite well known. When he was a student at a high school in Daejeon, he was a student that held 400th place out of 450 students in the whole school. But one day, he was blessed with the grace of God. After that, he had the aim for his life. He began to have a vision, which is to live his life for the glory of God. Since then, he prayed hard and studied hard. As a result, he was accepted to the Seoul National University Medical School. When he was graduating from this university, he was a top student. And then he studied in the U.S. He got a job with the offer of $400,000 per annum at a hospital. But he found it hard to go to church on Sundays at that workplace. He could not even think about going to the early prayer morning, as well, so Dr. Wan prayed to God like this. God, I'm not able to pray in the morning, but instead, I will give a lot of offerings for the mission fields, so I will help the missionaries that way. While he was praying, his heart was touched and he sensed God telling him like this. Rather than you giving me a lot of offerings, I would rather see you pray to me in the morning. So to pray in the early prayer meetings, he gave up on the job offer of $400,000 per annum. But God gave him wisdom and he was able to lift up this salary level even higher. He became one of the most influential people in the Cancer Research Institute in the U.S. That is right. God wants us to pray first of all more than anything else. Prayer is really important. In Revelations, chapter 8, it talks about this. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer, with the prayers of all the saints, on the golden altar before the throne. It says the angels deliver our prayer requests, and present these on the golden altar, before the throne by themselves. To a person that prays, the wisdom comes up, and that person gets to experience the work of God. A person that prays, a family that prays, the people that pray, at times they might seem to be a failure and nothing seems to be appealing, but when we look at them later, they all turn out completely differently. They all are successful at the end. I bless you all in the name of Jesus, that you will be able to confess that praying is the will of God. The other thing that Paul said is that giving thanks in all circumstances is the will of God. Verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in a mature way. God wants us to live our lives in gratefulness, no matter what circumstances we are in. In fact, thankfulness is in our hearts, not in our circumstances. A person that has gratefulness in the heart has happiness. In contrast, a person that has resentment, complaints in the heart is not happy. whether it is a husband or a wife, a couple, that complains about his or her own spouse, there is no happy couple. Where resentment and complaints are, Satan always comes along. But where thankfulness and praises are, God is there. As a believer, there are three things we need to be grateful for. First of all, we need to give thanks to God of Ebenezer. It is God that guided us through from the past till now. Secondly, it is God of Immanuel. He is God that is with us already at this moment. Thirdly, it is God of Jehovah Jireh. It is God that has all the plans for us. In other words, it is giving thanks to God that holds our past, present and future at all times. My dear family in Christ, we as a church are going to celebrate Thanksgiving Sunday on the first week of November. Let us not just give thanks to God with our material things only, but try writing things down which we are grateful to God for. For about 20 times a day, confess your thankfulness to God. When you see your child, say, "I thank God that you are my child." When you see your wife, say, "I thank God that you are my wife." When you see your husband, say, "I thank God that you are my husband." When you go to the cell group meetings, say, "I thank God that we are in the same cell group." When you see a person from our church, say, "I thank God that we belong to Young and Church." I give thanks to God because I was born in Korea. If you cannot do it during the day, possibly, try to count it in the evening. Try filling it out till you reach number 20. I heard that if you repeat the same word over and over, that word leads that life. The language gets recorded in the brain, and the brain gives signals so that the actions can be made. When we realize about how thankful we are, and when we confess about the grace we received, we get to enjoy happiness. A Christian life is like riding a bicycle. When you step on the pedals continuously, the bike moves well. If you do not step on the pedals, you will get to fall down. The pedal of faith is giving thanks. It is about giving thanks when you are having a hard time, and also it is about giving thanks more when things are going well. Let us step on the pedals of faith only as we celebrate this coming Thanksgiving Day, as we look back on this year. If possible, whoever you meet, bless them. And try to say things that you're thankful for. Gratefulness and blessings will return to you again like the boomerang does. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.